Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I got a special guest. You know me. When things are going on, I go out and find the right guy, and this is it. This is Stan Larimer from Cryptonomics.com. We've got the cryptocurrencies going crazy, and everything's happening, and so I went out and got myself the expert. Stan, welcome to the Bubba Show.
Well, thank you.
It's great to have you on, and you know, I think the first thing to do is I know you're heavily involved in this space, and you're known as one of the experts in this world. Can you give us a little explanation of what you do and what it's all about?
Yeah, absolutely. The real famous person is my son Daniel Larimer, who's been revolutionizing the digital currency industry every year since 2014. He goes clear back to days when he used to have arguments on the forums with Satoshi himself. At that time, he was just the apprentice, but today he's the master. He's developed about four different blockchains, and each one is a revolution on top of a revolution. So he's got a lot of stuff that he's done. He tends to every year have a new invention, and then my job is to come along and take everything that he's invented and make them into businesses and get other people to adopt them. So that's who you're talking to. I'm not the technical genius. I only play one on TV.
Okay, well, listen, it's good. It's good for you. So first, do me a favor. Okay, I know that, you know, the cryptocurrency space is obviously grown, and there's a bunch of different ones out there right now. But I think the first key that everybody needs to understand is what is the blockchain technology? Because I think that is the key to all this cryptocurrency. Is that correct?
Yes, that's the one thing we all have in common. And that would simply be, it's a decentralized ledger that a lot of different computers all around the world, using all kinds of different algorithms. It's not always the same technology, but it's the same goal. It's to get computers in faraway places to all agree on the status of a ledger, and that way nobody can mess with it. If you just deal with one company and one computer, then anything could happen to your data. But we decentralize it as a way of protecting the data, and everybody's trying to make a better mousetrap using that concept.
So I understand something that I don't know if it's cryptocurrency related, but I understand that Russia and China use the blockchain technology now to make their exchange oil for gold. Is that how that works?
Well, that's certainly one application, and there's a wide spectrum of applications. Big companies are doing it. Little garage shop operations are doing it. But one thing that you can certainly slice down the middle with is it a public or a private chain? If it's a public chain, that means it's incorruptible. If it's a private chain, it may have other benefits of blockchain that are beneficial to that company, but that company still controls it. And if a country does it, it falls into the category of a private chain, and therefore it's not much difference than what you would expect a major government or the major central banks to be doing. No improvement on the integrity of the system if it's a private chain.
Now, I understand you call this the new financial system of the 21st century. So what makes this the new financial system?
Okay, well, first off, you compare it to the granddaddy of them all, Bitcoin. And that was a blockchain that created a ledger for keeping track of who owned a simple token. And Satoshi, the guy that invented it, wound up saying, you know, these tokens, because we can pass them around, they could be a currency someday. People started speculating on that and started out with a penny, and now it's worth pretty close to $5,000 each. That's simple supply and demand over a limited supply token that has driven it up there. It performs a useful service of transferring ownership of value, but that value is a function of speculation and also a function of utility. So that was the first one. You could think of that as a unmanned company because it's just run by a bunch of computers out there like little robots that are keeping track of who owns that coin. But that was the first thing that was done. Dan Lermer came along and said, well, if you can make a company on the blockchain, why can't you add more functions than just passing shares of that company around? Bitcoins could be thought of as shares of the Bitcoin company. And so he says, I want to put an entire exchange onto that blockchain so that you can have multiple currencies of all different types and they can trade against each other without any middlemen. So you have something that you can trust. A lot of times middlemen take advantage of you in certain ways. He wanted to eliminate the middlemen, so he created that company. It got so versatile that it can now actually be a parallel superhighway, if you will, for financial transactions of all types, because those tokens can represent stock in a company, or they can represent access rights to get into a concert, or frequent flyer miles, or any type of thing that people would might want to trade. And so with that system, people can interact peer-to-peer without any middleman getting in the way. And that's the true exciting thing that people like, especially when they have had trouble with middlemen slowing down the traffic or interdicting it or interfering with it in different ways.
So you're basically referring to the Federal Reserve and their fiat currency system and the central bank's manipulation of currency, basically, correct?
Well, that's an example of how it's done the old way. But of course, with that model, the people who are in power can make arbitrary decisions concerning other people's wealth. They can decide whether we're going to have negative interest rates or not. They can decide, you know, whether there's going to be quantitative easing or not. That's playing with other people's wealth when they do that, because the people they give access to that first have an advantage in the marketplace, and they can go out and buy things cheaper before that trickle-down inflation hits everybody else. So there's a lot of people that think that that's an unfair system, and we compare that to a blockchain, which can say, no, by law, and law on the blockchain is the code, which can't be changed without everybody agreeing to it. Those enforce a set of rules that don't have anybody pulling strings behind the scenes.
All right. Well, we're going to get ready to stop by here for a break. But when we come back, I want to ask you, okay, why I'm not so secured in my emotional feeling about cryptocurrencies in general. You know, again, I'm not a big fan of the Fed or the dollar. I mean, I know the problems there, but we've heard of Mt. Gox and some of the other things that have gone broke and have screwed people. I know the Forex markets are not regulated. So when we come back, I want to know why it's safe and why it's the real deal. We'll be back with Stan Larimer from Cryptonomics.com right after the break. And of course, Stan is being brought to you by the mattress people at Casper, Casper.com. Remember, you want to get $50 off your next mattress purchase, go to CasperTrial.com/The Bubba Show. Again, that's CasperTrial.com/The Bubba Show to get $50 off your mattress purchase. And don't forget that the Tell 'em Bubba sent you. But in the meantime, also to download the show, go to libertytalk.fm every single day, and you can download not only the Bubba Show, but you can also download the Sporting Edge, which is football season is just beginning, so make sure you check out the boys. And, of course, Bubba's Bottom Line, which is available too at bubbatrading.com, and we've got our new hedging and futures classes coming up on September 12th and September 13th. I advise you to check it out. Protect your portfolio and learn how to grind out some dough on some part-time day trading. In the meantime, we're with Stan Larimer from Cryptonomics.com and pretty much an expert in the area of cryptocurrencies. We're going to stop by here for a break. We'll be back with more from Stan after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Stan Larimer, the expert on cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, and all the others. He's got some new exciting stuff to talk about as well. But we're first going to find out about why it's safe, because, you know me, I've always felt a little bit at ease. I'm not sure. I know Mt. Gox went out of business. I know they absconded with a lot of money. And I'm not a Fed guy. I'm not a regulation guy, but I am an exchange guy. So for me, I'm a trader, and I know that when I put my money in at the Chicago Board of Trade through my broker, if something goes wrong, I'm getting my money back unless I made a bad trade. But if it's all things being equal, if I own a billion Bitcoin or whatever it is, I'm going to get my money back as long as it doesn't collapse. So my concern, Stan, is how do we know that what you're telling me is accurate, and that nobody can fool around with this thing and one day just collapse the market?
Okay, well, in the last segment, I basically beat up on the Fed. I'm going to beat up on the other side now, okay? The fact of the matter is that while in its pure form, Bitcoin or our product, BitShares, or any of the other digital currencies out there are highly reliable because you're not trusting any humans in the loop, and all you're trusting is software that's open source that you can look at. And so those type of assets, the ones that are the base currencies of a blockchain, are highly reliable. But there's another kind of thing that can get added on top of this, built on top of those blockchains, and that's where all the trouble comes in. When someone built a human-operated exchange on top of a blockchain, they provide additional services that help people get in and out of the blockchain. But while they're touching your money, it's still humans in there. And humans can be wonderful people or they can be terrible people, and it's really hard to tell the difference. Another category of bad things that can happen are what I would describe as artificial coins. It's possible to create tokens on a blockchain that are representing something that's not on the blockchain. This is huge. Because let's just take a classic example. Suppose I create a currency, and BitShares is a smart coin factory. You can create all kinds of currencies on top of that same blockchain. Suppose somebody, Goldman Sachs, for example, were to come along and say, I'm going to issue a gold coin, and it's going to be backed by gold in our vault, and we're going to guarantee to you that for every coin we issue onto the blockchain, there's a corresponding ounce of gold in our vaults. Okay, now people pass that around. That's the way banks have been working for a long time before they started doing fractional reserves and rehypothecation of gold, which means basically selling the same piece of gold to back multiple things. So the trouble is not in the blockchain. Blockchain is keeping track of who owns that token. The problem is whether there's really backing behind that token or not. And so someone else comes along and says, I'm going to issue shares in my company, and each token is going to be like a share certificate. Well, as soon as they do that, they are stepping right into the regulatory wheelhouse of issuing a security. Okay, and the blockchain is neutral. All it's doing is keeping track of those promises. But if your promises amount to issuing a security, then you've got to meet the regulatory requirements of the jurisdiction in which you're doing that issuing. And that opens up a whole can of worms. We're having ICOs, that's initial coin offerings. All kinds of companies are starting up and blatantly issuing a security without doing the licensing or any of the other regulatory things that are designed to protect people. And so one of my little vendettas right now, while I'm railing against the abuses of government-sponsored organizations, I have to rail against the abuses of securities that are being sold with nothing to back them, and a lot of naive people buying them and getting hurt, or will get hurt. And that's going to hurt our industry. And so I'm working very hard to do some self-regulating on what we're doing to prevent those kind of abuses, because otherwise what happens is you wind up having to have a government or all the world's governments step in and do that for us, and then we get into the abuses of the government organizations. So we're trying to walk a line through the middle using those honest robots to keep track of everybody's assets, but not going to the point where people start abusing that what amounts to nothing but accounting software to issue securities that are backed by nothing but fake promises. So it's a two-edged sword.
Well, listen, if you think you beat up on the Fed, you listen to the Bubba Show once in a while, you'll hear somebody knock the Fed crazy and all the time. I mean, they're a bad organization as far as I'm concerned, but that's for another day. But so now, so let me make sure I understand. So basically the cryptocurrency world, and I don't know them all, but, you know, I know that obviously the main ones, Ethereum and Bitcoin and some others that I've heard of, you know, if you said the names, I'd know them. But those are basically just something that have recognized value that one person's willing to take from another. Obviously, you have to have somebody who wants to use, either take payment in the form of a cryptocurrency, right? Because if they don't want to take payment, then you obviously can't pay for it that way, right?
Yeah, it's supply and demand in the marketplace. And the only reason why someone accepts Bitcoin is because they expect that there's demand that allows them to sell it for fiat or some other asset at a later time. And that confidence that there's a market out there for that asset is what gives its value. And then supply and demand takes over. If there's more buyers, the price goes up. If there's more sellers, the price goes down. And that's where the volatility comes from.
Well, yeah, it's like any other product. Of course, there's more volatility in Bitcoin, for example, right now, because it is not so easy to trade, right? There is not... it's not like a public exchange. And I know that I guess I'm going to get your opinion here. I know the Chicago Board of Options Exchange is actually putting together a derivatives product that will represent the cryptocurrency world. Is that, do you like that or not like that?
No, I don't like that. But that's a centralization process, the very thing we're trying to get away from. I'll actually go back and say that, no, Bitcoin is not difficult to trade. It is supremely easy to trade. There's lots of people, lots of exchanges out there that make that possible. When you're using an exchange, most of the time, you're giving that exchange your Bitcoin, the keys to your Bitcoin, and they're keeping them and then trading just ledger entries in their own computer. And that's not safe. You may think you have Bitcoin on an exchange. No, you don't. You have their promise to let you cash out, like poker chips at a casino. But when it's on the exchange, they own your Bitcoin and you've got an IOU. So the only time that you have the benefits of the blockchain is when that Bitcoin is safely in your own wallet. And if that happens, no one in the world can stop you from sending that to someone else in the world over the internet, peer-to-peer, without anybody getting in the way. That's when your coins are safe. And the only problem with Bitcoin is it's like a Model T. I love Henry Ford and that he invented the Model T, but that Model T doesn't go down the road very fast. It just showed what was possible, and that spawned an entire industry. Right now, Bitcoin takes, it's 10 minutes to do one block of transactions, but then you need to do several more blocks to have it really be irreversible using the mathematics of Bitcoin. And, if you really want it locked in, you need an hour. Okay, so let's just say Bitcoin gets you real solid performance in 30 minutes to an hour. And that's really neat. When we first created cryptonomics, or the precursor to it, our investors in China sent us their investment dollars in Bitcoin. And that was awesome because it would only take an hour for them to send us the investment funds. And then it took me an hour to send it over to an exchange in London. And then it took the system 5 or 7 days to wire it back to me in cash so that I could do my business. So one hour, and back in 1 week. That shows you the improvement Bitcoin made, the Model T. But nowadays, we have Starships. BitShares could do that whole process in 3 seconds.
All right. Well, we're going to come back after the break, and you're going to tell us what BitShares are. We are with Stan Larimer from Cryptonomics.com. Obviously, you can tell the cryptocurrency, the currency expert. We're going to stop out here for a break. We'll be right back with more from Stan after the break. With Stan Larimer from Cryptonomics.com, and make sure you take care of your dog like I do, and sign up with BarkBox. They send you monthly dog treats and toys, and of course, you get a free month by signing up through me, through Bubba, and that's Go get getbarkbox.com/The Bubba Show. Again, that's getbarkbox.com/The Bubba Show. In the meantime, libertytalk.fm, download The Bubba Show and The Sporting Edge every single day. We're going to step out here for a break and be back with more from Stan Larimer, cryptonomics.com. After break, The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz coming right back. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with Stan Larimer of Cryptonomics.com. We're going to call him the cryptocurrency expert. And, okay, I want to know about BitShares, but I also want to know in the same time why Bitcoin is the Model T, and what's the new, what are we going to call it? I guess we'll call it the new Tesla. That's, I guess, the dramatic change in technology.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, let's be honest. If we look forward 100 years, do we really expect any of these digital currencies are going to use one stick of the same software they used before or any of the same hardware? Yet that is what Bitcoin is trying to do is, well, they do upgrade their hardware, but the software changes very slowly. And meanwhile, technology runs ahead, and a lot of the other blockchains are finding better ways to do the function of, like, a Model T drive down the road. And so a lot better performance is out there. There are still some people that, they want to stick with the great granddaddy and drive a classic car like Bitcoin, and that's fine. I think Bitcoin serves a great purpose as what they call digital gold. But gold you don't ship around very often. You don't use it as everyday currency to pay stuff because it's costly and risky to transport. Bitcoin isn't risky to transport, but it is costly and slow. In terms of what it takes to do that. So there are better systems that do the original concept, and that's what some of the other systems use, and they should be the ones people are adopting in everyday transactions because, who wants to wait 10 minutes to an hour when they can get it done in 3 seconds? But it's more than that. Bitcoin is saturated right now in terms of how many transactions it can handle. It handles about 3, maybe 7 in the best case, is what the original Bitcoin did before this month, August 1st. There was a big argument among Bitcoin developers as to how to modify the technology to handle more than that. And what they're trying to do is add another 7 transactions per second for the whole world to use, by the way, or in one case, one solution probably doubled that. So that's what happened. They couldn't agree, so they split, and they created 2 kinds of Bitcoin. That one was called Bitcoin Segwit, in other words, Bitcoin Cash, and the Segwit one got to keep the Bitcoin name because the exchanges decided that was the official one. But now you've got 2 Bitcoins, and they're both still pretty slow, in the order of 10 to 20 transactions per second. How do I know that's slow? Well, Visa processes maybe 4,000 transactions per second, and BitShares is capable of doing tens of thousands of transactions per second. And so when we're talking about which of these technologies is going to scale to be a replacement system for world economic transactions, you're going to find that Bitcoin will settle into a niche of, like, shipping gold around. From time to time, you'll move a little bit of it. But it's not going to be the thing you buy at Coke with or a Milky Way bar. For those everyday kind of transactions, you're going to need to have something that can scale, because, you know, there could be as many as 40,000 transactions per second that happen every day in the current economy that could be on the blockchain, and Bitcoin's Model T technology simply won't go there, and it's not likely to get there very soon, given the trouble they had in doing the little upgrade they just did on August 1st.
So a simple explanation, just so I can grab my head around it, is if I were going to, like, buy something to put away, if I was afraid and I wanted to get out of, you know, some of the United States cash or some dollars or whatever, but the Bitcoin would be something I might put more into as a safe haven, like a gold type of play. But if I wanted something to spend, I would use something like silver, right? It's something that's a little bit lower price, that's a little bit easier to move. Would that be a good analogy?
Well, no, because an ounce of silver is just as hard to move as an ounce of gold.
Okay.
And if you're using Bitcoin technology, it's not the size of the transaction. Bitcoin will divide down into little tiny pieces of Bitcoin dust that represent a penny or smaller. So, you know, you can send any amount, but with Bitcoin right now, because it's saturated, you have to pay the highest bidder in order to get the system to process your transactions. That means you might pay $4 to do a single transaction, regardless of what size it is, and that means you're not going to use Bitcoin to pay somebody $1 if it costs you $4 to send it to them.
Okay.
Whereas with the BitShare system, that's 3 cents for any size transaction. So it's really a function of what does it take to do a transaction? What's the cost? And a transaction is moving value from one person's account to another.
So tell me what BitShares is. Now go tell us what BitShares is all about.
Okay. So if we remember back when Dan looked at Bitcoin and said, well, that's a company and it does one little function, why don't I put a full-scale exchange onto that? And if I can put the full-scale exchange on it and Smart Coin Factory, then we can put all the world's coins onto BitShares. You don't need a bunch of separate exchanges, each one of them burning hundreds of millions of dollars worth of electricity every year. You can put them all on one exchange. Now, there's other things you can do with a blockchain, like voting and smart contracts and stuff, that might need to be different. But if you're just representing a single coin, they could all be on one exchange, and then you don't need Mt. Gox's. And Mt. Gox is an example of a centralized exchange. Everybody gave Mt. Gox their money. I'm not going to go into all the details of what Mt. Gox did with it. I'm just going to say that
they stole it. I'll say it.
Yeah. Humans were in the loop. Okay. That's the key thing. And with BitShares, humans are not in the loop. It's trust me, robots. Those robots check each other every 3 seconds. They're comparing notes. And if any of those robots has bad code in it, because somebody who owns that robot, you know, switched in a different set of code, all the other robots are going to detect it and ignore that transaction. And so you get protection from the events of Mt. Gox, because there are no humans that can play those kind of dirty tricks on you. And that means no front running would be another example. Right now, you know, a lot of people suspect exchanges are looking at the order books ahead of time and taking advantage of that foreknowledge in order to basically take a little cut of every transaction rather than passing on to the person who placed the order. And, you know, that a lot of us consider that highly unethical. If you put that into the 3 second heartbeat of the BitShares blockchain, you know, everything goes into that 1 3-second block is a commitment, and the exchange processes that whole block in that 3 seconds, and there's no way for anybody to jump in and mess with the order book during that interval of time. So you get much more honest trading, and it's all traded in on the blockchain where nobody else can come in. The only way you can lose your money on the blockchain is if you don't take care of your own keys, because that key gives you access to your account. It's a cryptographic key, but just think of it as a key. And if I let somebody else get my key, they can steal that from me. If I forget my key, lose my key, there's nobody in the world that can come along and help me out. So this is a personal responsibility play. If you're not responsible enough, or let me put it this way, you trust the banks more than you trust your own ability to take care of your keys, you should still use the banks. But for those people who say, I've been screwed by the Mt. Goxes and the centralized exchanges and the central banks so many times, I'm going to do the little extra due diligence to keep track of my own keys and protect them and know that I'm the only one that can get in there. And if I lose it, it's my own fault. And so that's the trade-off people have. And I know a lot of people in the world will say, you know, I don't want to be that responsible. I'll take my chance that the bank will steal from me. And, you know, that's a perfectly valid decision someone can make.
Well, I think that's more my personal opinion, Stan, is that people stay with the banks the same reason that they didn't want to vote. And I'm not saying who you should have voted for, but just we'll use Donald Trump for an example. People wanted to stay with the status quo with a real politician. They didn't want to go to somebody who wasn't a politician, just like people want to stay at the banks because they're afraid of doing anything else, because that's the way we've always done it. And I think that's obviously one of the mistakes we all often make, is it shouldn't be the way we've always done it. We should find a better way to do things, because that's what I think that the technology, you know, if I can still grasp my head around it, we'll come back after the break and you'll give me some more education. And I know we've got some more special surprises to talk about today. So we're with Stan Larimer from Cryptonomics.com, and you can see his knowledge on this field. And so he's the Bubba Show expert for now. And we're going to come back with more from Stan after the break. Of course, Stan is being brought to you by Audible Books. And of course, they've got over 180,000 titles to choose from. And I can tell you that I listen to them every single day. And I've gone through Fed Up from our friend Danielle DiMartino Booth. I suggest you check that one out. She does a great job, and she also does the narration as well. And of course, I love listening to Stuart Woods and the detective stories, or the and of course, you know, that's who I want to be when I grow come back in life. So Stone Barrington. And in the meantime, of course, LibertyTalk.fm is the place you go. It's the place for all of your content, news and sports, and of course, the Bubba Show. And you can download the Bubba Show there every single day, and the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And don't forget our new classes for hedging and for futures day trading start September 12th and September 13th. I urge you to check them out, but at least check out Bubba's Bottom Line at BubbaTrading.com. No obligation. And we are going to step out here for a break. We'll be back with more from our friend Stan Larimer from Cryptonomics.com. And he's got an interesting contest to tell us about. So we'll get that on the other side of the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with our new cryptocurrency expert, Stan Larimer from Cryptonomics.com. All right, Stan. So I got a big, long-winded question here, but it comes down to globalization. How do we make this whole thing work? And I know there's other things going on. So take me, make me comfortable. Make me want to go out and buy something.
Okay. Well, the great dream and vision of the whole digital currency industry is that there be honest money in a level playing field for all mankind. And that's what we're all working for. We may disagree on how to do that, but that's what we're trying to do. Right now, we've got a lot of good examples out there, but my position is that unless it can handle all the world's transactions, there's no point in trying to grow that technology up to be that vision. You can have a little niche use, but you really want the world to adopt it. And if the world's going to adopt it, it's got to be simple. The currencies have to be stable. They can't be fluctuating all up and down. You can have assets like that on the blockchain if you want to play the stock market. But the average person wants to know that what they had in their bank account or in their digital currency account when they went to bed is what they have when they wake up. And so those are the problems that we would like to solve for the general public. And then we'd like to teach them how to use it responsibly and to get the global benefits of that reduced economic friction and freedom from other nefarious agents that are mixed in there trying to take advantage of them. So what we did was we created a campaign called the BillionHeroCampaign.com. And we are going to give away $1 billion to 12 great causes that participants will help us select. And so what I have to do is probably explain to you where in the world did we get $1 billion, and you know, how's that all going to work. So that's what I like to mention going forward here. If I had $1 million and I do and did and donated it to this cause, if I took that back in time a few years when Bitcoin was worth $4 and I bought $1 million worth of Bitcoin, then I came back to the future, I would have $1 billion. The same thing's true with Ethereum. If I went back in time to when it was $1,000 less than what it was today and bought $1 million worth, I could come forward and I'd be a member of the million to billion club. And right now there's really only those two, Ethereum and Bitcoin. Ethereum is close to that anyway, if not quite in the member of that club. The other thing I could do is I could pick a current candidate that's, you know, down in the small scale size, but yours is worth about 15 cents as we speak. And I could say, well, if that particular currency is far stronger than Bitcoin and Ethereum were when they were that size, and if I could convince the whole rest of the world to use and adopt it, then it's probably pretty likely that we could see another one of those million to billion rises. And if I set aside my $1 million donation that's going to go to some good causes in the world, and tell everybody, hey, come help us teach everybody about this thing. And while you're at it, you can vote for which causes. Anybody can donate a cause, propose what they would like to do with a piece of the prize money. First place is $300 million. 12th place is $10 million. So, you know, there's a lot of chances to win, and anybody can play. What we are doing is essentially motivating the world to learn about this. And we're not just asking them to do all that work. We're building a nice game that they can play that will teach them all of the advantages, how to take care of their money, what Bitcoin's good for, what Ethereum's good for, and what BitShares is good for. And we'll teach them about other smart currencies that track the value of the dollar plus 5%. That would be the hero. All of these different things you don't have to know right now, but if you play the game, and by the way, when you play the game, you also get free coins that will also be worth something someday, so no purchase is necessary. You can come and learn about it using our free Monopoly money, but by the time the game is over, you'll find that that Monopoly money has turned into something of value too, so it's worth your time to play. So that, in a nutshell, is what we're trying to do, is to provide something for the everyday person to get into this and learn about all the advantages it has. We think we're going to, in the next year, bring in 10 times as many users as we have in the community already, and we're going to teach them all of these different things that I've been talking about, and that will cause, inevitably, the adoption of BitShares and its products, and therefore allow us to deliver on giving away that $1 billion. So that's our big, exciting thing. Everything else we do, all the other cool technologies, you'll learn about while you're playing the game. And as you play the game, you earn points, and those points give you votes on which good causes. And, you know, that could be stimulating the economy in southern Africa, or it could be launching a grid of satellites to put internet in space, or whatever, anything else someone might want to do. You propose it, you try to get enough of your supporters to back you, and in the process of doing that, you're recruiting people to learn about digital currencies and making the self-fulfilling prophecy of BitShares being in the million to billion dollar club become a reality. Well, so that's our vision.
Good. I'm sorry, finish.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, I know this, that if you'd have bought $10,000 worth of Bitcoin 7 years ago, it's worth $380 million today. But anyways, okay, so tell us how, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, or where would they go? How do they get track you down? How do they play the game? Give me all the specs and how I get there.
Yeah, it's real simple. The name of the website is BillionHeroCampaign.com. And you go there, and you know, the thing you have to do right now is just sign up for our newsletter, and we'll tell you when the game starts, which will be probably next month. And you can then start doing the different steps to teach yourself about the benefit. And keep in mind, while we're growing our prize from a million to a billion, you could grow your own little prize from $1 to $1,000. So our prize is also setting an example for what an average person could do as they learn how to use the system. And we provide a nice, easy on-ramp for people to learn to do that so that you're not missing out on this revolution that's coming. And, you know, that gives you access to a whole new set of capabilities to take good care of your own assets. At no time does money flow to us in any of this. This is all us giving away to raise awareness and cause adoption in mainstream societies all around the world.
All right. So now the billionherocampaign.com question, the big question of the day is, I want to buy a cryptocurrency. Which one do I buy today?
Well, you know, I am not giving financial advice.
No, I know you're not.
I'll just tell you this. I don't own anything but BitShares right now.
Okay.
So that's just me. But, you know, that doesn't mean, by the way, that you shouldn't hold a diversified mix of some of these other coins. And right now, Bitcoin is going up quite a lot. The only thing is, which has more room to grow? A coin that's reached almost $5,000 a coin, or one who's still sitting there at 15 cents. So, Bitcoin is mainstream. Its market cap is 100 times or more of what BitShares is.
But what's got bigger chance of growth? I hate to cut you short because you've been awesome. It's been great to have you on. Stan Larimer from Cryptonomics.com and BillionHeroCampaign.com if you want to play the game. Say thank you so much for coming on the show today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And that was Stan Larimer, pretty much of an expert in the cryptocurrency world. And, of course, he calls Bitcoin the Model T. I don't know the difference, but I certainly feel a lot more comfortable. And I would say to you that I'll probably go out and buy some BitShares, play the game. And, of course, I'll play the billionaire game he's got. So anyways, make sure that you download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm. And, you know, now that football season's here, I mean, anytime, but football season's here, and the boys cover fantasy and they do a little handicapping. And I urge you to check out the Sporting Edge as well at libertytalk.fm. And that will do it for today. Everybody enjoy your football weekend if you're a fan. And, of course, we know Ohio State kicked some butt last night. In the meantime, everybody have a great day. We'll see you back here on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horvitz. Take care.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.